Hello and welcome to the Nebraska Prep Zone Report, a podcast brought to you by Premier Dental. I'm your host, Jake Anderson, and joining me as always is World Herald Prep Recruiting Specialist, Mike Sauter. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm good. I'm very good, actually.
How are you feeling about the start of basketball season?
You know, I'm hanging in there. I think it's, you know, it's kind of, Stu likes to say December basketball. Some of that's true. I'm not sure I'm a firm believer in that because kids are playing year round now. So,
yeah.
But you know, you can see some people are working kinks out and stuff like that. So the Metro tournament will be here before we know it.
And the bracket was released for that yesterday. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later on the show. But first I want to, you know, recap and kind of discuss your new football player ratings because you dropped those last week. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure people have seen them by now, but if you haven't checked those out yet, you can see the full list on nebhsrecruiting.com. But today I wanted to kind of talk about some of your biggest debates, not necessarily go down the list of ratings because people can check those out online, but kind of touch on a few of the things that people may kind of wonder, the behind the scenes stuff.
Sure.
So just to kick things off generic, what was your one biggest debate?
Across all
years, what was the one?
Yeah, it was probably number one in the 2020 class, what to do with Xavier Betts versus Xavier Watts. That was probably the hardest for me because both of them are very good. The fact that there are two kids in Nebraska that are skill position players that are being recruited at that high of a level from, you know, Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, Purdue, Notre Dame, Minnesota, da, 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 on down the line, is something that probably has never happened before. If it's happened, it's been, you know, a running back or something like, it's been a long, long time, for that to happen. So, you know, that was my biggest debate. I ended up going with Watts, and here's why, is, one, he just had kind of a better season statistically. And two, he's a little more versatile, meaning he played safety. He started at safety and started at wide out and was extremely productive at both positions. In the state championship football game, which majority of people, that's probably the only time they've seen him play, he had double-digit tackles to go with his 100 and whatever yards and two touchdowns receiving. So that kind of, to me, solidified, yeah, he's pretty versatile. So that was the reason why. Xavier Betts has the better combine numbers, if you will. Mm-hmm. He's a bigger kid and probably maybe a better pure athlete, if you will. But I think Watts has closed that gap. So that's kind of the reason why I went with him. A couple of different reasons. I don't think there's a lot of people that were arguing that with me. So
to your point, Watts 6'1", 180, Betts 6'3", 190. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit bigger, but to me, there's not much. That's not that big of a difference.
They actually run about the same 40 too, if you look at it. We don't share that, you know, publicly. And
yeah,
those are from camps that I got those numbers from this summer. So they're about that. So yeah.
How close is Javion Ducker, Bellevue West running back? It looked like he stayed put at number three from the last time you did your ratings. How close is he to not passing one of those two, but breaking in and making it a three-person tier?
I think he's in the conversation for sure. He's definitely in the conversation. Then I think after that, that's when you're kind of like, here's a tier. Mm-hmm. So I think those three are kind of their own tier. The top two are for sure kind of, just kind of a tit, and it's just like a little notch. I don't even know, you know, it's not that far off at all. And Jay, I think he's fantastic. I think he could play a slot receiver, and he just does so many things for an offense. And he could play receiver, play running back, catches a ball. He's a short yardage back, and they use him a ton around the goal line as a wildcat guy. At Bellevue West, and
he's the next in their string of fantastic running backs. He's used the same way as Jalen Bradley. They use wildcat wide receiver running back.
He's extremely versatile as a football player. Has good hips, all that stuff, and put up a monster year for them. really, and this is kind of out of his control,
mm-hmm.
he's just like not 6'3", 6'2". You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just,
yeah.
There's nothing, he can't control how tall he is. So some of that is part of it.
He was getting some attention from Northern Iowa this week.
Yeah, he got an offer from Northern Iowa. He also had, I mean, he's got South Dakota State offered, Northern Iowa offered, top of my head, I think Purdue offered too. So he's got some offer. He just doesn't have, when you're at the top of that list, and I said this kind of in the columns I wrote, but the process is always going to start with who has the highest offers or mm-hmm. more of them or from different players, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
That's where you start. And then you go from there. So that's how I always do it. So he has the Division I offers. He has the power conference offers. He just doesn't have as many as those two ahead of him. And there's still time. These rankings are going to change one, two, three, probably at least at a minimum three more times in the next year. So there's some room to wiggle there.
Okay. And rounding out the top five is Isaac Gifford of mm-hmm. Lincoln Southeast, Luke's brother,
mm-hmm.
And then Cole Herbelsheimer of Millard South, Gifford, mm-hmm. a defensive back, Herbelsheimer, a lineman.
Right.
And, what's the difference between those two?
Gifford has an Oregon State offer, or got an Oregon State offer. It was like a year ago almost, I think.
I believe that was from Trent Bray, saw him when he was in Lincoln.
Well, yeah, that was exactly. There's that connection there. So, and Isaac had a good year, again, until he got hurt. I think he has a meniscus deal. He's not playing basketball right now for Southeast. So that kind of is a separator for me. Also, Gifford is pretty multidimensional. I mean, he's listed as a safety, play safety. I think he could translate to a linebacker, kind of like Luke did. Luke played safety in high school and ended up playing linebacker, and I think that's what I would project him at.
Mm-hmm.
If he ends up being a safety in college, great, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the difference there is that's really the kind of only difference. I think Herbelsheimer is going to end up getting a handful of offers from Division I schools, whether it be FCS or FBS. I think he's going to be more than fine. I think he probably, again, translates to an offensive guard. He plays tackle and defensive tackle. He plays offensive tackle and defensive tackle for Millard South. But mm-hmm. I think he probably kicks inside as an offensive guard, maybe even a center. He's pretty athletic, so maybe he could do that. He's 6'3", so that's kind of
big kid.
Yeah.
We have him listed 6'4", 270.
Yep.
Do you think he could kind of be the next Bryson Williams, Harrison Phillips? Does he kind of have that same potential?
I mean, he's a massive dude. Like as far as like he doesn't miss the weight room, right? So I mean, his barrel chested, big, strong guy. Could eventually. It all this depends on how they perform at camps.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
this spring and summer. That's going to be the biggest thing. So what camps kids go to and how they perform at those are going to be the biggest key for all of them, basically.
Yeah, obviously. And I know with these, you're not trying to put any unrealistic expectations mm-hmm. on any kids or, you know, by putting them at a certain point in the rankings, it's, you know, a slight towards them.
Basically, it's just my opinion on how I think they're going to be. And player rankings are very much so 4 years from now, who's going to be the better football player.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically
it's a subjective process.
Yeah. It's not right now, man, this kid had whatever this year and mm-hmm. For his high school team. It's not necessarily that. Yes, I take that into consideration, but it's more of, okay, in 4 years from now, who's going to have the better college career? Minus injury or something, you know, it's a projection. It's partly projection and partly production. And then you have to take the offers into account and kind of all that stuff. So there's a mix of things. There's actually a formula that I use I don't want to give it out, but
getting really scientific.
Yeah. I mean, there is a formula I use to go with it, and always have.
Okay. I had two more names on here that I wanted to discuss, and one was looked like one of the biggest risers in this rankings, Isaiah Harris. Mm-hmm. Millard South running back. He obviously had a really good year. He went from 13 to 8.
Yeah. So, him and Sebastian Harsh went from not to set, not mm-hmm. rated to 7. So that's 7-8. Harsh for me, I'll start with him. He's outside linebacker. He plays outside linebacker and quarterback. I think he translates to an outside linebacker. He really can rush the passer. They used him in specific situations at Scottsbluff last year because defensively, I mean, mm-hmm. because they didn't want to. He's obviously their quarterback, so you got to kind of work with that a little bit. So. For me, he translates to an outside linebacker. He's a really well put together kid, and is quick, strong, physical. Can get to the quarterback. Isaiah Harris, he's just a little short. I think that's probably it.
Like you're saying, Harsh, real quick, 6'3", 220.
Yeah, 6'3", 220 is a big dude. Big dude, and he can kind of. Trim up a little bit, in my opinion. So I really think he can. So anyway, and back to Harris.
Harris 5'8", 165.
Yeah, but he runs like a 4.5 40. He's a super productive back. Probably need him to get it to catch a ball to the backfield a little bit more. He's shown that and can do that. Straight line fast, has good hips. Meaning when I say good hips, I mean he makes defenders miss, missability, if you will. So I think he went from kind of way off the radar, because really it was just Jay Ducker as the running back in the class, to now he's kind of on the radar, and he's going to keep getting better, and Millard South's going to be good next year again and all of that. So another kid that probably needs to go to some camps and stuff this summer and our spring and summer to kind of to collect some offers and things and have good showings at that.
All right, the last name here for 2020 was Kearney's Miko Meisner, and he dropped out of the top 5 to 9th for you. I know that was one that you kind of struggled with, dropping him. Mm. What can you explain your thought process on that?
Yeah, he has an Iowa State offer. He and South Dakota State offered previously. He just didn't have a great year. Honestly, if you just look at the production, wasn't there. He total yards receiving and rushing was like 665 or something close to that number, and only like 3 or 4 touchdowns. So just not great. And even defensively, they use him a little bit. They did, and it just not a lot of tackles or anything like that. Kid's super talented. Way fast straight line runner, clearly by being a track athlete.
Yeah. 6'1", 180, and runs a 10.800 meter dash. I mean, he's got speed.
Right. But, you know, I think he was a little dinged up this year for Kearney, and that probably had something to do with it. This is the final thing. There's nothing. I have him as the number two rated athlete overall in the class behind Tyhon, who had a great year for Johnson Brock. So
where does Meisner project to play? You haven't listed an athlete. Where do you think he projects to? Outside linebacker?
I would probably guess that. I mean, he'd have to put on some weight and stuff, but I would think probably more of a outside linebacker, maybe a safety. He's like I said, way fast, straight line. It's just kind of the open up the hips and turning and running is something for defense that he needs to get better at. But, you know, imagine him on jet sweeps and things like that. He's pretty dynamic that way.
All right, let's move on to 2021 here. Right. And to me, it was very interesting. I don't disagree with it, but I thought it was interesting that Avante Dickerson stays at number 1, the Omaha West Side defensive back, running back, and Teddy Prochaska, the Elkhorn South lineman, was your number two. Prochaska has a Nebraska offer. He went from not rated to number two. Yeah. So he's obviously shot up the boards this year. He had a great year. What can you explain Dickerson versus Prochaska? Right.
And I think this is going to be maybe a battle. Kate Haberman at three is a really good lineman, really good lineman for Westside.
Yeah.
But I think the difference for me with Teddy and Avante runs a 4.37 40 and has not just one time, but multiple times.
Yeah.
That is like next crazy, ridiculous speed, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know the last time anyone from Nebraska has done it. I mean, it's just something that is special stuff. That's basically the reason why I kept him there. Teddy, you put on the film, he is mauling people like
6'8", 250.
Yes, 6'8", 250. Nebraska offered, and then Northwestern offered this past weekend. By the way, I wrote a story on him, and people can check that out if they have any. Recapped his visit to Northwestern. He also talked about his thoughts on Nebraska and stuff. But that's really the only reason why I stuck with Dickerson. He can return kicks. He plays running back. He can split him out to play wide receiver. He's a really good defensive back because he's long.
Yeah.
He just needs to get a little thicker. I mean,
6'1" 170.
Yeah, listed at 6'1" 170. He's probably 6 foot. 170 might be a push. but he's quiet, kind of unassuming, and just goes about his business.
Who's kind of been interested in him?
You know, I mean, he went to a handful of Nebraska games. He also went to, I believe he went to Notre Dame for just game day visits. So there's stuff there, and there's people that are talking to him. Again, I think it's just this class. I mean, they're only sophomores. So
yeah, it's 2021, so yeah, there's not any urgency.
No real reason to freak out if kids don't have offers yet. So
No.
This is definitely more of a projection.
Yeah.
So kid I like a lot is Brendan Anderson from Millard South. He's a he can really get after the quarterback. And then Ryan Rogers at Bellevue West is Coach Huffman told me, he goes, he'll be our first Division I since he's been there, our first Division I defensive player. And then you put the film on, and he's like diagnosing plays quick. He shoots out of a cannon from his linebacker spot to get in the backfield and make plays. He's sideline to sideline guy. He's definitely a name that people should keep an eye on, I think.
A name that kind of stuck out to me, because everyone, you know, always gravitates towards the quarterbacks, Millard South's TJ Urban, and, you know, he was a guy that we talked about during the season as an X factor for them. And anytime you see a quarterback in the top 10, that it catches your eye, especially from Nebraska. 6'0", 180, so maybe little undersized.
Maybe a little short, but I'll just jump in, sorry.
No, go ahead.
He really is a great runner of the football. He needs to get a little better passing. It's fine. No problem. Again, we're talking, you know, he's years away from touching a college campus.
Yeah.
But he is a combine stud. Vertical, 40, all of those things. He's a really good athlete. When I say combine stud, I mean really good athlete, like 34, 35 vertical. Runs a 4.6 or something, 40, something like that. So he's really good at that. He just needs to throw the ball a little bit better, and he's the number one quarterback in the class for me, and I don't really think that's that's definitely not a stretch. Cole Payton is the quarterback from Westside, who I like a lot, and they're totally different.
That was another name
Payton's
that I saw.
Tall, kind of multi-sport athlete, plays baseball. And he started for Westside. Westside had a really good year. And, you know, he's going to be their signal caller, hopefully, for the next 2 years for them. And throws a good ball. He reminds me a lot of Dylan Plotz, their guy that they had that's now at Stanford, walking on Stanford. They're built kind of the same way. He moves maybe a little better than Dylan did. But, again, big arm kid, baseball pitcher. So has a really good arm and can really ran their offense really, really well for Westside this year.
Yeah. Have you talked to Peyton? Do you know if he's leaning baseball or football? He's only a sophomore, well, next year he'll be a junior.
Yeah, that's probably something to decide, next year or something.
Yeah. All right. Was there anything else from 2020 or 2021 that stood out
to you? So if you look at the 21, just because we're here, Drew Christo and Tate Hendricks are two kids that probably will eventually, I would say, move up and into it. They're really good. You put on their film, they're definitely good. And people told me, hey, you should. Those were the two names that people kind of had a problem with me not having in there. So they're in the watch list. We'll see, as it goes along. There's, like I said, there's years until we get this done. This will be expanded or moved a ton. I mean, I'll rank this class probably another 5 or 6 times before we're all said and done. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then, obviously, I don't think there's a whole lot to discuss from 2019 because the top 5 are the 5 Nebraska kids.
Yeah, there's nothing you can really say. I mean, I don't recap. I mean, what do you – the 5 are the 5 – there's maybe I missed a couple guys, that had really good years, but again, that's just part of the process, not the whole process. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Before we jump on to some of the news and notes, I want to take a minute here and thank our sponsor, Premier Dental, preventative and restorative care for you and your family. Let family-owned Premier Dental show you how easy it is to have the smile you have always wanted. You can check them out at premiersmile.com. Get those mouth guards for basketball season. Schedule your cavity and your checkups from all this holiday candy. Everything you need, premiersmile.com. All right, let's jump into your stock report here, Mike. And I want to kick things off with the Metro Holiday Basketball Tournament. Yeah. Brackets and schedules being released.
It's a little early for those, I feel like it's a little early to get those released.
Yeah, it doesn't start until December 27th.
Got 2 weekends of basketball yet to play.
So I guess that leads it into, what's your early takeaway from basketball? What stood out to you?
Well, I would tell you, and maybe it's just because I've seen him the last 2 games I've seen, John Tonji has been ridiculously good we're talking ridiculously good for Omaha Central this year. He's averaged 28 points, 6 rebounds, and 1.5 steals a game in 4 games. That's really good. Tuesday night, he scored 33 points and had 3 steals and 2 blocks and only had 2 fouls and 4 rebounds. That's a pretty efficient stat line. He can run. He can jump. He can shoot the 3. Last year, for the whole season, his junior year, shot 46% from 3, which is awesome. He's been kind of the brightest star, if you will, so far of the high school basketball season for me.
And they're playing without Latrell Wright.
Yeah, they're
Jr.
playing without him, and that's a big kind of blow to them. So Max Polk and Tanji kind of have to pick their production up along with the other guys. I mean, they needed some depth to help them this year at Central, and I think they're working on it. They're getting it a little bit. They just need kind of more. But Tanji is, I have a very strong feeling he'll be a Division I basketball player and get some offers coming down the pipe here. He probably is going to have to wait till the end of the season or something to get those. But I think he's for sure.
And is he a junior or senior?
He is a senior. So, but he's 6'5", like 190 or whatever, and he's really had a fantastic start to the season.
And what's been impressive to me, one thing that stood out, is Sydney McDermott and Omaha Scott.
Yeah, how about that?
She set the school record, I believe, on Friday.
Friday or Saturday.
Friday or Saturday, she scored 30 points And then the last night against South Sioux City.
South Sioux's good.
Yeah, the number one team in Class B, I believe. Mm-hmm. She broke that record again and scored 35 in Scott's win.
That's really impressive.
Yeah, they could win volleyball, and they're a contender in basketball.
Yeah, I'd say they're a contender for sure.
Yeah.
And Sydney's committed to Northwest Missouri State to play volleyball. So obviously the basketball bloodline is pretty good, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's not horrible.
Yeah.
But let's go into this Metro Holiday Tournament because we have the full brackets for these. And I know that that's something that always interests people. So for boys, we have the number one seeded Omaha Creighton Prep, number two Bellevue West, number three
is Central. Or no, West three side. Is West Side.
Three is West Side, four is Central. You can check out the full bracket and schedule on anyprepzone.com. What's your initial first take to these brackets?
Wouldn't be shocked if there's a handful of upsets in the first round, on the boys' side in particular. Wouldn't shock me at all, honestly. I think probably Brian Elkhorn South is probably the best matchup if you look at it right now. We're 2 weeks away from it. Mm-hmm. And then Papio South Bellevue East, I think, will be competitive. South Millard West will be competitive. They just played last week, and it was good. I think Omaha North could give Millard North some problems, too. Millard South is just so well coached. He'll probably throw some sort of a probably triangle and two or box and one or something at Central, make their other guys help him out. And Burke West Side, Burke has athletes. They just kind of need to figure that stuff out. And then Bellevue West, Papio. Papio has a lot of size. So we'll kind of see if they can give Bellevue West a run.
And that'll be a full day of basketball at Ralston Arena December 29th.
I will be there for the entire thing.
Starts at 8:30 a.m.
I'll probably get there about 8.
Last game of the day starts at 8:45 p.m.
Probably leave the gym about 11. No overtimes. Yeah.
It's not built into the schedule. Yeah. On the girls' side, December 28th, full day there at Ralston Arena that Friday, and that number one seed belongs to Millard South, number two seed Millard North, number three Omaha West Side, and number four Omaha Northwest. Again, you can check out that full bracket and schedule on anyprepzone.com. What's your quick...
Those are probably the... I think they got the seeding pretty right. I think those are probably the one and two and three. Like, if you had to look at it, I think that's probably the one, two, and three, and four, and five, and six, and seven, you know, teams in the state right now, in Class A, or I guess in the Metro right now. So I think that's probably right. I'd love to see Millard North and Millard South. They're going to play each other anyway, but I'd love to see them in the final. I think it'd be fun. Could an upset happen along the way? Sure.
Yeah.
But I definitely would love to see that.
And then the quarterfinals for both boys and girls will be January 2nd, also at Ralston Arena. Full day that day. So, again, no overtimes. Not building a schedule.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
And then the semifinals the next day, January 3rd, and the finals for both boys and girls, January 4th.
I think it's 3:30 and 5:15 or 5:30.
3:30 and 5:15 at Ralston Arena.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be some really good
full
holiday
days.
Basketball. Reminder for fans, is it an all-day pass for games? Or
I think so, yeah. Yep. I think you just pay one time and you get in. I'm pretty sure.
That's a pretty good deal for all this basketball. Anyways, let's jump on to All-Nebraska Volleyball that was released last weekend. Mike Patterson always does a fantastic job with that. The first team was Lindsay Krause of Omaha Scut, Kaylin Meyer of Superior, Emily Bressman of Omaha Marion, and those were the three returning All-Nebraska first teamers. And then you had the Miller North duo of Izzy Lukens and McKenna Rook, Mariah Buss of Lincoln Lutheran, and Jaden Centeno of Millard West. So you can check out the full second and third teams as well as all of it on anyprepzone.com. Patterson always does a fantastic job with that. What's your take on the All-Nebraska team?
I think those are probably the best players. I would say they're all committed or going to Division I places, and there's not a lot you can argue, I don't think, with any of them. Maybe you look at like a Meyer versus Krause as the captain or mm-hmm. something like that, but I don't think you can really argue with what he did there. I'm sure people did, but it'd be hard to argue, in my opinion.
And then a reminder that the All-Nebraska football team will be going up this weekend, December 15th and 16th, I believe. It'll be running in print Saturday and Sunday and online on anyprepzone.com. We'll have a special edition of the Prep Zone Report with Stu Pospisil, who picks the teams. He goes over position by position, gives his take on the team, settles any debate. So that'll be dropping probably Saturday night at some point. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for that. And then a couple other news and notes here. Bellevue West Xavier Betts was in the top 50 on
44.
Rivals, new recruiting rankings. Yeah.
Number 44.
Yeah.
How about that? So he's a 44th ranked player in the country, but I have Xavier Watts ranked ahead of him.
Interesting.
I've probably actually seen both of them play a football game, though.
Betts is the number 11 wide receiver nationally.
Right.
And he's the only recruit from Nebraska to land in the Rivals top 10. And that's the highest in quite a while. Looks like the last one here was in 2008. Lincoln Southwest, Baker Steinkuhler at number eight. Mm-hmm. And Elkhorn's Trevor Robinson at number 37.
Yep. Henrich was up there in the top 100 at one point. And then ended up, he might end up jumping back up in there. So
he ranks at 119 currently.
Right now. Yep.
And then looks like
Steinkuhler was a 5-star. So.
Steinkuhler was. He was one of the highest rated recruits in Nebraska.
The highest rated recruit in the history of since 2000.
Yeah.
18 years in Nebraska high school football.
And we wanted to give a shout out here to Wahoo Newman football coach Tim Terman. He, you know, reached 300 career wins last season, coached 4 decades. He announced his retirement over the weekend. I know you always liked watching Wahoo Newman play.
He's great. His family's great. Wish him nothing but the best. I mean, he is definitely a legend, obviously. And I have nothing but respect for him and his family and no, it'll be interesting to see what they do there as far as, you know, replacing him. But he's a great man and a really good football coach, obviously. And I think he just kind of felt, you know, the last couple of years, I think, just talking with him, I think he kind of felt like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's great and wish him nothing but the best. He's an awesome guy.
And that was definitely a football family out
right,
there.
Right, no question.
His son, Matt Terman, is the coach at Scott, former Husker. And then his oldest grandson, Noah Vedral, is playing for Nebraska.
There's a bunch of other grandsons coming up down the pipe. Eli was quarterback and this year for him. So there'll be a lot more of them going through Newman there.
And one other note that I thought was interesting, looking over your 2021 ratings, a name kind of stood out to me, and so I was double-checking it while you were talking Metro Conference Tournament. In your 2021 ratings on the watch list, Isaac Zadica, Elkhorn South offensive lineman, is the son of a former Husker, John Zadica. Mm-hmm. I thought that was an interesting note for fans to keep an eye on for 2021.
There's going to be a lot of guys coming through because all these guys in the 90s or whatever, their kids are getting older now. So there's going to be a lot of kind of guys like that'll come through and be really good high school athletes that have a recognizable last name, I guess.
Yep. And it looks like Isaac had an unofficial visit
to Nebraska
this season.
I actually talked to him
November 10th.
That day. So,
yeah.
Yep.
All right. I think that'll do it for us today. A reminder to check us out on omaha.com/podcasts, anyprepzone.com. Keep an eye out for the All-Nebraska football team. Hit that subscribe button on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
That kid's going to have to put on a lot.
Yeah. He looks skinny.
He is.
Is he...
Rob is his...
Yeah. Uncle?
Uncle.
Okay. That's where I didn't know if he was Rob's kid.
No, yeah, he's John's kid.
John's kid.
Different. Yeah. Yeah. Rob has a handful of kids.
Yeah.
I figured John was a walk-on. Yeah, played 93, 97, it said. But I figured that name wasn't too common, but I didn't want to like spout off and say, oh, Zetica.
No, no, no.
Without double checking it. So I figured we'd circle back to it.
Cool.
I'll get that daily thing up like to you kind of quick tonight. There's not a lot there. There's some there.
Yeah.
We just get it up to you.